Our sermon text for the second Sunday of Pentecost will be taken from Romans, so remain seated. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Reading in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work as patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We pray that you would not inspire us by flesh, but rather by your Holy Spirit, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times, we have opportunities that we may not see. Many times, we get busy in life, and we get going in life, and we start turning around, and we think that we're going to do something, but tomorrow. We're going to do something, but later. How many times have you done yard work in your yard, and you looked over at something, and you thought, I got to put that away, or I got to take care of that one issue over there. And by the end of the day, you got done with all your work, and you still didn't get to it. And you're sitting in your lazy boy after being tired on a Saturday evening after your sauna, and you're like relaxed, and you're like, oh, I never took care of that issue. Well, there's always next week. It's amazing when you go out to camp, you can turn around and you look at different things, and everybody that comes out there has an idea, which is wonderful. But not many people implement the idea. Jesse will walk by something literally 30 times as he thought, I gotta take care of that. But then, by the end of the week, it didn't get done. We come here with good intentions when we deal with an individual such as Anders coming forward to be part of this congregation. And we want to encourage him. We want to strengthen him. We want to, in reality, make him feel as part of this congregation. But tomorrow, next Sunday, we turn often and we realize that life is going by us so fast that we can forget to take the time to do what we are called to do. Today is Father's Day. What a beautiful day. It's a day where you are reminded of the gift of fatherhood. It is a day where you often are reminded about how much God has blessed you with your children, and I'm very blessed. And I know you are too. But it's also a day when you're reminded, maybe, just maybe, when you've forgotten to do a few things. I got up this morning, and my daughter gave me a keychain. And inside the keychain, I may not quote it perfectly, but it basically said, thank you for helping me build my life. Sometimes I forgot. Sometimes I forgot that I'm helping build lives. Sometimes I forget that some of the things I say may impact people in different ways, and it doesn't just extend to my family, whom I love very much, and I'm proud of all my children. But as a pastor,
Have you forgotten too?
Have we forgotten that all of our life is impacting the community around us, our family around us, and that we are building lives, that we're encouraging? Paul knew this, and Paul understood this very well because he's speaking to the church in Rome. He's speaking to a bunch of Gentiles, those that would be outside of the camp, and he doesn't speak to them religion. He doesn't speak to them traditions of men. He doesn't speak to them rigidness of a father's heart telling a child what they should do. Paul comes forward and he makes a very, very powerful statement right away. And he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. With God. Through the Lord and Savior Jesus. Chapter 4, he goes through a great encouragement of showing the imputed work of Jesus Christ in our lives. That it's not something that we've worked for. It's not something that we have obtained by gaining, by working, and doing the right thing. And that's why he says, therefore, understanding this has been given to you as gift, understanding that it is this imputed righteousness, one that is outside of you, has been given to you. Understand, you are justified. You are made right before God by faith. By faith. By faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, and also now we have access by faith into what? This unmerited favor, this grace. And this is the most powerful and beautiful gift that there is and could ever be given to this world. Not just to a church, but to the world. That God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him shall have eternal life. What this says in strict and very direct translation is, God loved you so much, He gave you life. He loved you so much. He was building a life. He built your life. And the foundation in reality is the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have access to this grace, this unmerited favor. Why are we so hard to receive that? Why is it so hard for us to understand? What is grace? Unmerited favor. Something I never did anything for. It's forgiveness. He has given us His grace. He says, and we stand in this. And really, the way that Paul brings this out, he says, actually, we're kind of immovable in this. We stand in it. We're rigid. We are firm here. He says, and we rejoice. We are happy individuals. We are thankful individuals. We rejoice in hope. And also in the revealing of the glory of God. Our life is changed. Our life is focused not to what we can produce, what we can do, how we manage certain things. We look to the finished work of Jesus Christ. We stand in His favor and we praise God for revealing this gift. Not only in us, but throughout this world in His believers. And then He turns around and He says something that's very, very interesting to us. Very peculiar, if we could say it in that way. Very odd in the English understanding of peculiar. He says, and not only so, but we actually glory in tribulation also. Can you imagine that? He says, we understand the revelation even through tribulation. That when we go through trials in life, that we see God. When we go through struggles and difficulties, we see God. Oftentimes, Jesse is, when life is going quite well and life is just so smooth, He has a tendency to wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for a good life, but then he's off to do his thing. How many times when you've been going through a struggle and a difficulty have you turned around and asked for help? Asked for encouragement? Think about that. How many times when you're dealing with a health issue do you seek for prayer? When you're dealing with looking for employment somewhere, you ask others for prayer. How often when you're dealing with a difficult situation, you ask for strength and encouragement from others that they would in reality reveal to you by the finished work of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, what He would have for you in your life. You know what you're asking for when you ask that? You're asking for relationship. And you're asking for relationship not only with the body of Christ, but you're asking for relationship with God. When we turn around and we say, Lord, help us in this situation, we are saying, Father, be involved. Be part of this. And in fact, take care of this. We are often drawn by tribulation, by struggles, by difficulties, to seek the Father, to seek the grace, to seek the merit of Jesus Christ in our life. Whether you have a disease, you turn and you ask the Father to intervene. You say, Father, have relationship in my life. Have part in my life. Take this upon you, Father. And please, bring restoration, bring healing, but no matter what, bring your will into my life. Whether it's relationship problems, and we're turning around and we're saying, I need to figure this out. I need to restore a relationship, or I need to know whether to cut it off. Father, help me. We're asking, Father, intervene. By the power of your Holy Spirit, become part of my life. Have a relationship with me. Whether we're dealing with raising children, and we're told very straightforward that we are now an influence in their life, and we become overwhelmed, and we ask, Father, give me your ability, give me your strength, give me the ability through the finished work of Jesus Christ to be the mother I need to be the father I need to be. We are asking for relationship. We are asking that God will take residence in our life and that He will help us and in reality carry us through the situation. But we often can reveal or bring glory in tribulation because really what He says here is this also brings patience. These tribulations we understand bring patience. He says, and then patience, when we learn to wait on the Father, when we learn to wait on His will to be done, we then turn around and we actually, He says, have experience. And that's not a real good translation there. The real word would be more character. I like to use this word, and I think it's missing in a lot of places in this world, and I'm not blaming anyone. Integrity. That we would have integrity. As workers in this nation, we need integrity. That we produce the best, we do the best. As fathers, we have the integrity to make decisions that would be best for the family. Not always easy. As mothers, that we would do the same. It's not always easy. That we would have the integrity not only to stand up for a nation, for a government, for leaders, whether we agree with them or disagree with them, it doesn't matter. The integrity of the position is what we look at because He is our leader. The integrity for the pulpit. I never ever want anyone to look to me as a special individual, but may the gift of preaching always be considered very, very special and with great integrity. Yes, we can be human, and that's one of the first things that we try to teach these confirmants. As pastors, we're not up there so sober that you can't even crack a smile. We're real. And I want you to know something. Whatever you struggle with, whatever your battle is, I battle the same. We are real as pastors.
But the position and the call still has integrity.
I remember one time asking Pastor Jay, how in the world can a guy like me ever get behind this pulpit?
He says, you can't.
He says, but understand, every time we step behind the pulpit, we step there in the means of grace. And I've heard it stated many times about different individuals that preach. People get upset at them and say, well, they don't really live up to their standards. They don't live up to what they preach. I'll be the first one to admit it, and I'll sign my resignation today if it's a qualification. I do not live up to everything that I preach. Because I preach higher than me. I pray I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And nothing else. There are standards. And we learn that going through these experiences in our life, whether difficult, whether joyous, whatever it may be, we learn patience because we see the consistency of God through every situation. We could take it to a very carnal understanding to get a glimpse of what I'm speaking about. And we can see that even in our lives as families, we've looked at things in our lives and said, how are we going to make it through this? How are we going to make it even financially to raise our children, to get them where they're going to go? I remember there was a time in my life where I didn't believe I'd ever own a home. But yet God continually has blessed us and encouraged us and strengthened us that I saw we were able to rent a place and meet the bills. We had more children, we were able to buy a place that was small, but yet adequate, and meet the bills. And then I got to see that we actually sat in a living room of a 6-bedroom home. That yes, I put a lot of sweat equity in, but God blessed us. And the reason I'm telling you this carnal story is to give you a glimpse of how you see the consistency of God, and you start to count on that. Because I remember sitting in that house, pretty much empty, looking around saying, Lord, you have blessed me. Well, it doesn't have to be just carnal things. We can see it with our health. We can see it with our families. If God has gotten us through this situation, He will get us through the next. Those experiences work patience in us where we trust Him, where we know Him. And then when we have this patience, it works character in us that we become more mature. And we can be a light. And I think this is very important for us to remember. We have a good mixture in this congregation, and I praise God for each and every one of you. I truly do. But we have young. We have middle young. We have married couples raising children. We have married couples raising grandchildren. And then we have older couples that have great grandchildren. They have experience. And I think that's something that we can lose sight of, that we could feel because of the generation gaps that we would have nothing in common. But for the younger to understand that you can go to an elder and that you can speak to them about your struggles, your difficulties. They may not have gone through what you went through exactly, but they have been through life. And they have seen the consistency of God. And that there is a lot of wisdom within the aged. Sounds bad, aged. Senior saints? Is that better? But the fact of it is that they have the experiences they've been through that you can speak with them and be encouraged. That's really what he speaks here. He says they have character and they have hope. And then he says hope. Hope doesn't let us down. It doesn't mean we're embarrassed, ashamed here. And hope maketh not ashamed. It doesn't mean embarrassed. The Greek context really means you won't be let down. You can have confidence in what God has done. You can have confidence because you have experienced it. You will not be ashamed because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit. We have been given the greatest gift. That we are encouraged. And we also are given the encourager. That we are not wandering alone. And this is such a powerful thing for us to understand. That we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives because God has given Him to us. He says, and then going back to the aspect of it's not by merit, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, when we had no ability, and I'm talking to you, when you had no ability, and yes, personally, I'm speaking to me, and I had no ability. I couldn't do anything. Christ died for me. That is the message. When we are lost in our own sin, when we are lost in our own devices, when we had no ability to stand up on our own, when we were laying there as a beggar in the ditch, Christ came. But not only that, He died. He died for the ungodly. For those that have no use for Him. Those that do not know Him. He died. That the hope and the path of salvation would be created and opened. That we, by grace through faith, may enter in. He did not wait for qualifiers of men. He did not wait for men to pull Him down from a cross. But rather yet, while we were persecuting Him, while we were in the midst of our sin, He died for us. Because He loves us. And that is love. It goes beyond what I can do. It goes beyond what I can perform. It is one willing to give themselves for another in spite of everything else. Just as Leno would do for Anders. And he's human. Just as I would for my children. And I am human. I really experienced this the first time I met little Jakea. I saw her there in the hospital, and I didn't even know her. Her and I never spoke a single word. And at least at that very moment, if someone came in there and said, one has to go, which one? I would have stood up and said, take me. And I'm human. Your Father loves you. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much that when we were in the midst of our darkness, He came and He gave Himself for us in the form of Christ. Fully human, yet fully God. He says, you know, we understand this in the normal days of things. Barely for a righteous man will one die. Pre-adventure for a good man, as I spoke in the hospital scene, or I spoke for my children, or you for your children, some would even dare to die. But God showed His love towards us. That we were in the depths of sin, in the very act of sin. And I want you to think about that for a moment. In the middle of doing what you believe to be the worst, He still came. We have a tendency to cut off people that we feel are living in sinful behavior. We have a tendency to cut them all off and say, we don't want nothing to do with you. We have a tendency, or at least Jesse does, have a tendency to think he's better than somebody else because he may not do a certain thing. But in my very, very depth of unbelief, Christ came for me. It is by that gift, by that love, that my heart is open to Him. Also, Paul writes to the Romans, but he also writes in another place, do you not know? Brothers! You can say sisters too. Do you not know it is the goodness of God that calls a man to repentance? May we see His goodness. May we be encouraged by that gift. May we show that love one to another. And may we, as we continue in the tradition of our congregation, receiving new members, receiving new communicant members, may we see the gift in each and every one. May we not be exclusive. Let's be inclusive. For Christ died for the sins of the world. May we preach the word by faith they may hear and that they may receive. Because yet while we were in sin, Christ died for each and every one. Amen. It is Holy Communion. The first communion table will be for